Today, Baghdad took a step towards revoking the immunity that foreign contractors now enjoy. Iraq's cabinet approved a law that would subject firms like Blackwater to Iraqi law. The U.S. Supreme Court today examines yet another congressional attempt to legislate against sexually explicit material on the Internet that involves children. At issue is a federal law passed after the Supreme Court struck down an earlier attempt. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The last time Congress tried to outlaw child pornography, the Supreme Court said the law was so overbroad that it could have banned Romeo and Juliet as a portrayal of sexual conduct between teenagers. When Congress tried again, it included a provision mandating a 5-year minimum prison sentence for anyone offering or receiving images that show or purport to show children engaged in sexually explicit conduct. A federal appeals court in Atlanta struck down the provision, citing the legal axiom that Congress may not write a law so broad that it punishes both protected speech and speech that is not protected by the First Amendment. In this case, the appeals court said, Congress had written a law so broad that it covered even a braggart, an exaggerator, or a liar, even someone who falsely advertised Walt Disney's Snow White as kiddie pornography. The actual defendant in the case to be argued before the Supreme Court today is neither a braggart nor a liar. He was caught through a sting operation with real child pornography, pictures of real children, on his computer hard drive. His conviction for that crime, possession of child pornography, is not in doubt. The Supreme Court has previously ruled that sexually explicit material involving real children, whether obscene or not, is not protected by the First Amendment because of its link to the sexual abuse of children. So the only question in this case is whether defendant Michael Williams could also be prosecuted for offering an undercover agent he met on an internet chat room material that purports to be child pornography. The government contends that whether a person has the real deal or not is irrelevant. Jay Sekulow is director of the Reverend Pat Robertson's American Center for Law and Justice. He filed a brief in the case defending the law as constitutional.
What Congress said was, look, this problem of child pornography is so significant that even those that don't actually possess it but are alleging that they do, they're saying they have this child pornography, that in and of itself is criminal.
But anti-censorship groups counter that Congress has enacted a law that punishes so broadly that producers and marketers could go to prison for advertising award-winning movies like The Tin Drum, American Beauty, and Lolita. Take this trailer featuring sexually suggestive images.
Light of my life, fire of my loins, my sin, my soul.
Michael Bamberger filed a brief on behalf of the Association of American Publishers and other mainstream media organizations.
It's really a very twisted and a concerning situation because it's an attempt to restrict the distribution of sexual content containing non-obscene materials relating to minors and that is not child porn.
That notion, says Jay Sekulow, is absolutely incorrect.
And the courts are very careful to understand that true artistic expression is one thing, pandering child pornography is something different.
But how would the courts make that judgment? How are they to determine what is artistically legitimate and what is not? Sekulow says the government has to prove intent.
Was the person trying to entice someone into believing that they possessed or were distributing child pornography? If the answer to that is yes, that person was doing it, guilty.
The government and some 28 states say they need this tool to eradicate the market for child pornography on the net. Again, Jay Sekulow.
It is the exploitation of children because it's feeding a frenzy to the end user.
But anti-censorship groups counter that what the law really wipes out is free speech. Here again is the publisher's Michael Bamberger.
Someone who was convicted under this law of marketing perfectly legal materials, number one, faces potentially 5 to 10 years first offense, and number two, in many if not most states, will then be subject to the sexual offender registration laws for having sold something which is perfectly legal. And what concerns the mainstream media is that this is going to have a significant chilling effect on people like them who will have to sort of walk around how they discussed the plot of Lolita on the video.
A decision in the case is expected by the end of the Supreme Court term. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.